Okay, good luck. Good, till Saturday night, I should say, poor souls. And so, when does Matzah Shabbos end? Anybody know? Does it end in the morning? Does it end at Chassos? I'm not sure. Anyway, we can dwell on that some other time. Fine, I'll think about it then. All right. I always give a thank you, which is very, very sincere, to anybody who comes to this year or is listening to this year, because they know that at least one person will give for this year, and that's going to be me. I hope everyone else will as well, but it's a share that we've given for many years, and it gives me the opportunity to, as the title says, to get reacquainted with the Master, to make sure we remind ourselves of what the davening is all about, because to come into Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, and not know what we're davening for and what our davening is about would be a terrible, terrible mistake. So anyone, I know some of you have been here and been to this year in previous years, and hopefully I remember something. This will be Chazara, be just to reinforce what we already know. The first thing to point out is what we do daven for, what davening is about, and what davening is not about. And the mistake that people who don't prepare for Rosh Hashanah and don't learn about the Machzor make is that they think they know what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about, it's Yom HaDin, we're going to be judged, and we better ask everything that's important to us, because everything that's important to us is being decided on Rosh Hashanah, which of course is true. Everything that's important to us is being decided on Rosh Hashanah. But yet, that's not really what we daven for. The few places where we do daven, I should point out what I mean when I say daven. When I say daven, the main part of davening, it's a rule to know that when we talk about davening, the word tefillah in Gemara refers to Shmoneh Esrei. Halacha refers to Shmoneh Esrei. That's the crux and that's the center piece of our davening. So in Shmoneh Esrei, the few places where we do refer to Sachrein El Chaim and so on, things that we will need, the love of Tzev Chaim Tovim, that's the stuff that if you skip it, your Shmoneh Esrei still works. All right? So it tells you that's not the Ikar Parei Shmoneh Esrei, that's not what the davening is really centered around. So it's really centered around something else entirely. And Siv Shalom talks about what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is and poses the question that is Yom HaDin. And on the other hand, I mean, we know Chazal and the Halacha speaks about this contrast in the fact that it's Yom HaDin, a very brightening day, it would seem, and yet it's a Yantif. It's a Yantif, and we say Shachiyanu. It says Shachiyanu, Kimei began while I was about to death, and I reached this point where my life is in balance, and I made, Miyichem, Yamas, and who knows what's going to happen to me, Chaz V'Shalom, right? Yeah, but at least I can say Shachiyanu, I'm still alive now. At this point, I'm still alive. So what's the Simcha? The Simcha, the Chag, it's the Simcha, Rosh Hashanah is the greatest day, one of the greatest days of the year. So because we have a completely different emphasis, and that's very, very important for us to know. So, you know, one of the things that I always say is a good thing to look at is what's in big type in your master, you know, because it's like that for a reason. So, for example, anyone who's here early enough and hopefully whatever, you know, page 262 is where the men are on this side. Page 262. You have the word Hamelach there. That's the first word that the Chazan says. Now, emphasis is very important. Which words you italicize or put in bold type is very important, because these are words that we say all the time on Yantif. It's part of Nishmas. And so Nishmas is on page 258 and 260. And normally, on a regular Shabbos, goes through HaMelech Yosef HaKitzur, and he sends the Shliach Tzibur, starts with Shulchan Aruch Moreh V'Kadosh. But on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shliach Tzibur begins with the word HaMelech. And when he says that word, for us, it's our very own Rabbi Deutsch, when he gets up there and he says, HaMelech, right? That word HaMelech, that is the introductory word for the Yom Noram Davni. That's the word HaMelech. It's about HaMelech. It's about stressing the idea that Hashem is HaMelech. And here, with that, we find the key. That word is the key to the entire Rosh Hashanah davening, and it's the key to answering a question that we should take note of before we go any further. And the question is that Rosh Hashanah is the first 2 days, not just 2 days of the year, and not just the first 2 days of the month of Tishrei, but it's also the first 2 days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, right? So the first 2 days, two out of the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva is Rosh Hashanah. 10 days of tshuva. And yet, one of the things that's another mistake that people make, that's not in the Rosh Hashanah davening, that's glaringly absent from the Rosh Hashanah davening, is tshuva, in the classical sense. Right? All those achets that people think, if you trick them, I do this all the time, but I've stopped because I feel bad, that how many times you say that on Rosh Hashanah? 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, I get all kinds of numbers, but nobody says the answer. It realizes that it's zero. You don't say it all on Rosh Hashanah. There's no achet, there's no vidya on Rosh Hashanah. That's in Kippur, but not on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you don't talk about achet. There's almost zero reference to chet in Rosh Hashanah. Almost zero reference to confession to chet. The one word that could be interpreted as confession, where you say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu L'fanecha, on Rosh Hashanah is not supposed to mean that. We're not confessing to anything. We're talking about historically, we as a people, our ancestors, and we're not talking about our own Chatanu Rosh Hashanah. We don't. Many people, I don't know if it's universal or not, but certainly the way I grew up is that in Yom Kippur, when you say Avinu Malkeinu, or even year round, whenever you say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu L'fanecha, you go Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu L'fanecha. You guys do that? You do that? Chatanu L'fanecha? Why not? Okay, anyway, but not on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, because that's a sign of tshuva when you hit yourself on your chest. You say, Chatan v'necha. On Rosh Hashanah, we're not talking about that. It's because we're talking about something else entirely. We're talking about a very different kind of tshuva. Very different kind of tshuva. We're talking about a tshuva, what the Sefer Shalom calls a tshuva of not for the past, but mikanol haba, from here on. We're making a statement, we're making a declaration. The declaration is, Hashem, you are my melech, and I plan to act accordingly in the year to come. And I plan to live up to the responsibility that goes along with that. So Rosh Hashanah is all about, and that's the celebration, by the way. That's the celebration of Rosh Hashanah, is that it's a coronation ceremony. We have the king, you know, and we're proclaiming his king. Even as king until now, but we're renewing that awareness within ourselves that he's the king, and therefore it's will be melech Hashem as a king over ourselves and over the entire universe. So let's take a look at the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Now, Shachris, Meir, Shachris, Mincha are all the same Shemoneh Esrei. The Musaf is the one that becomes a very expanded Rosh Hashanah, but we're going to get to Musaf soon. First, I want to look at Shachris, but really I'm not looking specifically at Shachris, I'm just looking at Shachris as a typical Shemoneh Esrei. So let's turn to page 296 in your Arshkol Maser, which is the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei for Shachris, but again, this is the same Shemoneh Esrei except for Sim Shalom, Shalom Rav, but you say the same thing at Meirv and Mincha as well. So it starts off as a regular Shemoneh Esrei. Of course, you have in bold type added in Zachrin L'Chaim, which is done full of Aseret Mitzvah. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is regular. The next bracha, Tagibor, is regular. Turn the page now to page 298, right? Ending with bracha Hashem Mechai Hameisim. But then when you get to the third bracha, Tagadosh, this is where suddenly everything changes. And we have a special bracha about Tagadosh, which normally is such a short bracha. Tagadosh, Mechagadosh, Rigdosh, Mechoyim, Mechusela, right? The you are holy, and your name is holy, and holy ones praise you every day forever. And then Baruch Hashem Akel HaKadosh during the Seder Mitzvah, we change it to Melech HaKadosh. But on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur as well for that matter, this bracha gets expanded in a way that it is never changed the rest of the year. The rest of the year could be Shabbos, it could be Yantav, it could be Pesach, it could be Shavuos, it could be Sukkot, it could be fasting. The first three brachos and the last three brachos are never modified. You may have some additions during the Seder Mitzvah, but they're not modified, they're not fundamentally changed. Here, a whole bunch of stuff is reduced. Several paragraphs. As you see on page 298, you have a paragraph of Chen Tein Pachtecha, of Chen Tein Kavod, of Chen Tzadikim, of Simachat Hashem Levadecha, Kodesh At, and only finally at the bottom of the page, you have finally have Baruch Hashem Melech HaKadosh. So it's clear to us that this Baruch is key, and it's critical to Rosh Hashanah Davening. So let's talk about this Baruch a little bit. I can't say I'm saying exactly what the Ramchal says, but this is based on Ramchal that Rabbi Lob and I heard from our Rosh Yeshiva back in the days when we were able to hear the Rosh Yeshiva speak about what Shana is all about. And ever since I heard that, it really changed my perspective, and I share it with you. The Bracha of Atah Kadosh has a title in your Arshkol Maaser, which is helpful for us to note. It's the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem, right? Everybody's familiar with the term Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. Translating it is the easy part. Kiddush Hashem, but Kiddush Hashem. But understanding what Kiddush Hashem is, it takes a bit more more depth or conversation. Kiddush Hashem, at least the way the Ramchal understands it, what does it mean to sanctify God's name? It means to act in a way that creates an awareness that Hashem exists and that He is Melech. That's what Kiddush Hashem is. Kiddush Hashem and Hashem is Melech go together. Kiddush Hashem is acting in a way that makes a statement. And the statement that I'm making is that Hashem is my Melech. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're really doing two things. You're doing the mitzvah, but you're also making a statement. Why are you doing this mitzvah? You're doing it because Hashem told me to do it, that I live my life according to His will. Chas v'shalom, someone does an avera, that's chil Hashem. It's two things. It's the avera, but also you made a statement that says, I do what I want to do. Hashem, you tell me to do this, but I do otherwise, and it diminishes that feeling that Hashem is Melech. And if you do it in public, then it's chil Hashem, before Hasiyah, public chil Hashem, chas v'shalom, or conversely, much better, kiddush Hashem in public is a kiddush Hashem in front of others. It's not about what the going to think of us. You know, people think that this very primitive idea of Kiddush Hashem, what are they going to say about us? Now, obviously, that's important as well. It's meaningful. But it's interesting that the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, for example, of giving everyone's life, has a much more heightened meaning when it's done in front of 10 Jews, not 10 going. And there are times when the person only has to give their lives in front of Jews, in front of a million of Jews. So Kiddush Hashem is very much tied to the idea of Melech, and therefore, it makes sense that on Rosh Hashanah, which is the time of HaMelech, of recognizing Hashem as Melech, incarnating Hashem as Melech, and returning to that idea that Hashem is my Melech, it makes sense that the bracha of Atah Kadosh should have more to it than it normally does, right? So let's take a look at what happens here in this bracha, because it's very, very structured, and it's building a picture. And therefore, we should know what's happening in each paragraph. More or less, the point is not to translate every single word. You have your art scroll translation there. You don't need me to translate every word. But let's talk about the concepts. So the first paragraph, V'chein tein pachtach Hashem alkeinu, alkom asacha. And so to Hashem is still your awe upon all your works. V'eimascha. And I say this every year. I Oscar's translation doesn't speak so well to us. And your dread, okay? No one wants to dread Hashem. Your dread, right? So, can we come up with something better right here, right now, instead of dread? You know, that's okay. But it's also awe, fear, right? Fear. I'll call my shabbos and everything you created. V'yurucha kol ha'masim, and let all works fear you. V'yishtachol v'necha kol ha'bruim, and let all creatures or creations bow before you. And here we have this very beautiful phrase, V'yasu chulam aguda achas. And here I do like our scroll's translation. Let them all become a single society. I think that's the art scroll's translation, right? Let them all become a single society. To create, now, who is this talking about? Who is this? It's an amazing, amazing thing. This is the crux of Shemona Esrei, right? This is not a line that you can skip and still be yotze. This is I don't know what the halach would be. Maybe it could be the yotze, but... But this is the meat and potatoes of Shemona Esrei Rosh Hashanah. It's not about your health. It's not about your wealth. It's not even if you want to be a little more expansive. It's not about Klal Yisrael. It's not about Jews. It's not about it's the first paragraph of Davis for who? For Hashem's world. It's for everybody. When it says Kol Masecha, right? You know, it's the Aguda likes to, you know, Aguda Achas. They have a song, you know, Aguda. Makes it like, who's it talking about? Well, anybody, I'm not knocking the organization at all, but they're thinking of the word Aguda. But really, Aguda Achas is there. It's not talking about Jews, it's talking about the whole world. The whole world should become Aguda Achas, should be one single society, because what divides the world and what creates all of friction and war and violence is a lack of awareness that there's a Melech over everybody who determines who should have what, and therefore robbing another country's resources or whatever it is. It was wholly inappropriate. So it says, if Yisrael become a single society, but single society means, and it's very clear, there's only one way to achieve a single society, and that's why we can't stop there, is a comma, but not a period after Aguda Achas. it's a comma. The Yazuchu Mugud Achas, that they've all become a single society. Lasos, Ritzoncha, Belev, Lev Shalom. Do your will wholeheartedly. What a beautiful, beautiful vision of a whole world that recognizes this emes, that Hashem is Melech. That is a world filled with Kiddush Hashem. Chil Hashem has been completely wiped out. It's only Kiddush Hashem. There's an awareness. Everybody recognizing Malchus Shemayim. Right? So that's the first paragraph. By the way, if anybody has a comment, we can try to take comments and questions as we go through this. Next paragraph. And so too Hashem grant honor to your people. There's a world of a difference between this paragraph being placed second where it is versus being placed first where it's not. If it was placed first, then you say, oh, that's what we're interested in. It's all about us. Grant honor to your people because, you know what, a little bit of covenant gishmak and we will like it, right? But the fact that it's a second paragraph tells us, no, it's in order to help facilitate and bring about the first paragraph. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ambassadors to the world. We are charged with the idea of being an Or Goyim, a lighter to the nations. What does a lighter to the nations mean? To bring this message of truth through our behavior, through our conduct, that the rest of the world is supposed to learn from us by setting an example of what Kiddush Hashem is and to radiate that Kiddush Hashem to the rest of the world. So we ask for this honor, so because if the world does not respect us, then we can't teach them. They won't learn from us. So we ask Hashem, for all the good people in Klal Yisrael, and where do we need to be operating at optimum Kedusha level? We need to be in Eretz Yisrael. We need Mashiach. So we ask the Simcha L'Artzach. Everyone sings those words, right? Simcha L'Artzach. No, I think we sing it here. No, do we? No, not that one. That's the other one. That's Karbach. Okay. Anyway, Simcha L'Artzach. V'sasan L'Yirecha. Right? Simcha. Simcha for your land. V'sasan and joy to your city. V'tzmichas Keren L'David Avdecha, which is Mashiach. Which is Malchus Beis David, the Davidic dynasty should be established, Barichas Ne'el Veni Shem Mashiachecha, and to bring Mashiach may have remained, which is again very powerful. Because we're asking for Mashiach, but why? We're asking for Mashiach so that we can help make your world, Hashem, what you want it to be. We want Mashiach. We want to go back to Yisrael, but why? Because it's Chil Hashem in the world, and this is not the way you want the world to be. You want the world to be Kiddush Hashem. Filled with Kiddush Hashem, and you want us to do that. So therefore, we're asking for all the things, tools that we need, and so this is not a personal bakasha. When I say personal bakasha, personal request, it's not even a national personal request. I mean, it's not about us; it's about Hashem. And it's very important for us to understand that the whole thrust of davening, maybe this is self-evident, but it's not. It's God-centric. Okay, it's all about Hashem. It's all about Hashem. It's not about us. Now we're not, even though, and think about this, even though we're being judged for everything that's important to us, nevertheless, it's not what we focus on davening. We focus our davening on you, Hashem, and the role that we're supposed to play in bringing that about. We also need our leaders. We need people who inspire us to be the people that we need to be. So the next paragraph is Chen Tzadikim Yirismach of Yisharim Lozu, about the Tzadikim and the Yisharim, the upright and the Chassidim, and to get rid of all of the evil. But we can have our Torah leaders, if you will, to inspire us. So we have a picture of the whole world recognizing Hashem, inspired by Am Yisrael, inspired by the Tzadikim, and who's on top? The Simoch Ata Hashem Levadecha Kol Matzacha. You Hashem will reign alone over all of your works in Hatzio and Yishalayim as the Pasuk says. So we build a picture of the perfect world. The bracha of Kiddushas Hashem is the bracha that describes and asks for the realization of the world that of Tikkun Olam, where the whole world recognizes the truth, and therefore is living in harmony, in recognition that Hashem is Melech under the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, we can conclude Kadosh Atah and ending Baruch Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. Okay, so these paragraphs appear in every single Shemoneh Esrei over Rosh Hashanah and over Yom Kippur. So these are, if we walk away only knowing what these paragraphs mean and the picture they describe, then you're already ahead of the game, right? Then this whole shiur, it was worth it for you to be up till past midnight. I'm not saying now go to sleep. That's not what I'm saying. But that's a very worthwhile thing to know. Okay. Now, with this, I'm going to skip. We'll go back to where we are. But I want to, for a moment, because I think it's very relevant at this particular point, for us to turn to page 454. Okay, 454 is the middle of Musaf Shemoneh Esrei. The middle of Musaf, which is a much longer Shemoneh Esrei. It's the longest Shemoneh Esrei. It's not before Aleinu. It is Aleinu. That's Aleinu that's in the middle of Musaf Shemoneh Esrei. That's exactly what I'm going to point out. Aleinu, which is normally after davening, finds its way into the middle of the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei in Rosh Hashanah. Right? And, you know, it's, And Elena gets a bad rap, you know, because it's at the end and people are, when the weekdays are taking off their tzol already and at Shabbos they're smelling the tzolent and, you know, what it's Elena, but here you can see the fact that Elena is in the middle of Musaf Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah tells you how important Elena is. Okay, so you have to think about that. Next time we're saying Elena at the end of the davening, one of the things that I try to suggest is that instead of saying on Rosh Hashanah, that the lane is normally at the end of davening is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, which is every day that at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, at end of davening, I'm saying a little bit of the Rosh Hashanah davening of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf Shemoneh Esrei, and then our lane will be different. But why do I mention this now? Because we just learned that Kiddush Hashem and Malchus Shemayim goes together, and that we daven the perfect world on Rosh Hashanah, a world filled with Kiddush Hashem. We oftentimes don't think about what a lane is about. And Elena is very much about this idea. And this is as good a time as any. It's very important for us to understand what are we saying in Elena. Yes? So if you don't mean to put me on the spot, but you put me on the spot, you know? No, it's a good question. I don't know. Okay? So the question was, where did the first Elena come from? Did it come from the Elena that we see at the end of davening, or was the Elena Musaf Shemoneh Esrei? I don't know. So let's take a look at Elena. Elena l'shabeach l'adon hakol. It is incumbent upon us. It is our duty to praise Adon HaKol, the master of everything. L'aseiz gedula l'yotei b'reishis, to ascribe greatness to the molder of everything, from evil creation. Creation is the creator of the world from the beginning. Now, what should we, we're thanking Hashem, right? To praise Hashem, to thank Him. In what way? What are we thanking Him for? To thank you, paragraph. Thank you, Tefillin. He did not make us like the other nations of the world. Our portion is not like theirs, and our lot is not like them. Why? Because it's a world of a difference between us and the rest of the world. And here, the words that have been censored out of Elena throughout history, but have found their way back into our Siddur, very importantly, in Baruch Hashem, we have the ability, we don't have to be afraid now. Shehem is very important. Shehem is tachavim lehev of a rik, mespalam el lo yeshia, because they bow to vanity and emptiness and pray to a God that helps not. They're very sincere, they mean very well, but they're bowing, to the wrong tree or to the tree, whatever. They're bowing to things that can't help them. But we, Korim Ushtachim Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We bow before Hashem, the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first paragraph of Aleinu acknowledges once again that we're making Hashem as Melech. We're so thankful that we know to do that. We're so thankful that we are privileged to play that role on Rosh Hashanah. On the anniversary of the creation of man, when Hashem became Melech, how did Hashem become Melech? With the creation of man, because a Melech below Am, there's no such thing as a king without a subject. So Hashem had his first subject on the sixth day of creation. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the sixth day of creation, the creation of man. And there's a whole world that doesn't know this. So we're thankful that we know it, Baruch Hashem, and we appreciate that. But then the next paragraph says, but that's not good enough for us. We're Hashem's ambassadors to the world. We care that the world is filled with Chil Hashem. It bothers us. We're not just satisfied that we know it. We want everyone to know it. Al kein, therefore, the next paragraph. Al kein, I'm not going through every word. Al kein, therefore, nekavelach Hashem alakeinu. We express our hope to you, Hashem, our God. Liras mehir b'sif eres v'zecha, that we may soon see your mighty splendor. Lahavir gilum in the earth, to remove all idols from the world. And then go to the next line. L'sakein olam emachus shakai. To fix up this broken world. It's a broken, broken world. Tikkun olam, but not tikkun olam in the sense that it's been misappropriated, helping hurricane victims, which is a very nice thing to do. I'm not arguing the idea of helping hurricane victims, but that's not what tikkun olam is. Tikkun olam is defined over here. L'sakein olam b'machus shakai, to repair the world, to fix the world by bringing machus Hashem, Hashem's kingship, into the world, so that everybody, all flesh should call in your name, right? And they should all swear in your name, and they should all acknowledge your existence. So that's Aleinu. That's why we will be saying Aleinu in the middle of the Musa Shemoneh Atzeret. We'll talk about it more specifically, hopefully before Slichos begins, before we end tonight. But I wanted to connect it to Atah Kadosh, because now we have three ideas that go together: Kiddush Hashem, Malchus, Hashem being Melech, and Tikkun Olam. Those are all terms that work together to describe what we're davening for in Rosh Hashanah. Okay? All right. Questions or comments? Okay. Turn to page 300. I think it's really worthwhile for us to note the basics from the Shemoneh of Rosh Hashanah. So page 300 has Rosh Hashanah, the Shemoneh Esrei. Now it lapses back into a fairly typical Yontif davening at page 300. Atav HaChatani shows us some of the nations, and the second paragraph, Etitan Lanu, and he gave us Hashem Elokeinu Behava, he gave us a special day, Yom HaZikaron, the Nivyala V'Yavo, right? All that is typical for Yontif. And then you have Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, the bottom paragraph of page 300, which also is typical to have a paragraph like that. What we're reading over here really is the central bracha, the sentence. I should have mentioned this, that Shabbos and Yontif, including all the Shemoneh Esreis of Rosh Hashanah except for Musaf, have seven brachos. The first three, throughout the Kadosh, expanded version of Rosh Hashanah, the last three, starting with say, and the middle bracha. The middle bracha is called Kedushas Hayom, the holiness of the day. So the Yontif structure of Kedushas Yom is what we've been going through over here. Ending with Elokei Elokei Aviseinu, which is in its essence a petition, a request, but it's unique for Rosh Hashanah. What do we ask for? Once again, Meloch HaKolam Kula B'Chvedecha, rule over the whole world with your glory. V'Nasei Kol Eretz B'Karecha, V'Avad Ragazecha, you should be lifted up and elevated above everything. And the end of the third line, V'Yeda Kol Pa'ul, Ki Ata Fa'alta, let every pa'ul, let every, how does Ashko translate it, let everything that has been made, know that you are its maker. Everything that's made should know that you made it. Everything that is informed should know that you are the one who formed it. Let everything that has an neshama, breath in its natural, say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, Hashem the God of Yisrael, Melech Umachusa B'kol Mashallah, and his kingship is manifest over everything. So again, you see the idea of Melech. Once you know it, but see that we're really obsessing on this idea in Rosh Hashanah. It's all about recognizing Hashem as Melech. Okay. We now have covered Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Okay, that's the Shemoneh Esrei. And we know what the basic Shemoneh Esrei is about. Let's turn our attention to Musaf now. Let's turn our attention to Musaf, which, as I mentioned, the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah is the longest Shemoneh Esrei of the whole year, and it's the only Shemoneh Esrei that's neither seven brachos nor 19 brachos. Your daily Shemoneh Esrei is misnomered because it's really 19 brachos, but we call it 18 because, as many of us know, the 19th brachos is added later on. So before we see the Shemoneh Esrei itself, let's turn to page 444 just for a moment. 444. This is the tefillah of the Sheikh Sieber. This is after laning. The Sefer Torah has been put back. And I like pointing this out, even though it's not something we say. It's what the Shliach Sibur or Rabbi Kalish will say. But I think it's a great tone setter, if you will. And I think it's worth a while to follow along as he's saying it. Not all of it does he say out loud. The second half he says quietly. That's the minhag. But he's got a big job, the Shliach Sibur. He's got a big job. And he has to be aware of it. And he has to be aware that no matter how great he is, he's really not up to the task. And he expresses that in his introductory tefillah. Hineni ha'ani mimas, here I am, impoverished. Mimas, of deeds. I'm really not such a tzaddik that I need to be. Nirash nifchar ipachad yoshet hilis Yisrael. I'm trembling and frightened from dread. Okay, maybe it should be dread of him who was enthroned upon the praise of Israel. And basi have come lamod ulhaschanein lefenecha, to stand here and to beseech you, to pray, to daven for you, al-amcha Yisrael, for your nation Yisrael, asher shelechuni sent me. And this is why I like referring to the person who's davening in front of the tzibur, not as a chazan, but as a shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur means he's an agent, he's representing us. We have to do our davening, of course, but he is our shliach, he's our agent who is sending. And he says, I'm here on behalf of this whole Tiba, this whole congregation, who have sent me. And he says quietly, I'm not really worthy of doing this. So he goes on three lines later, where he says, Shakai Oyim Benora, speaking to Hashem, Shindalad, and Yud, we don't say that word unless we're saying Hashem's name, Milo Davni. Hayeno Matzliach Darki, please give me success, grant me success on this path, that I am traveling, I'm walking on this path of representing my people. Lamod levakish rachlim alayva shochai, to stand before you to ask for mercy and compassion for those who have sent me, for myself and those who have sent me. And don't hold them accountable for my sins, and so on and so on. So it's good to think about this a little bit, think that we have a Shliach Tzibur up there and we're counting on him, but he's counting on us. And we're really in this together. Okay. So now, the Shemona Esrei for Musa begins on page 448. And the beginning is, we've already covered. 448 is regular. 450 has the expanded Atah Kadosh that we just talked about. 452 is pretty typical for Yad Shemona Esrei, where we know that because of our sins, we were exiled from our land, and if we can't bring the kabbonos that Musaf is about, is represents the additional kabbonos, the additional sacrifices that were brought on every Yantif. So we say, well, we can't do that today because of our sins. We were exiled from Israel, and we don't have the ability to do that anymore. And then we specifically quote the psukim from the Torah that describe those kabbonos. And that goes into page 454. So now it turns to 454. And then we have Aleinu, which we just looked at. Now, so let's understand what happens now, because this is where, instead of the bracha ending, this is again the bracha of, really in a typical Yantish Shemoneh Esrei, you'd have the Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, the final paragraph that we saw before, concluding the bracha of Kedushas and Yom, of the holiness of the day, which on Rosh Hashanah is Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. But we hit the pause button and we insert a whole lot of stuff before we get to that. A whole lot of stuff. So essentially what happens is we have three brachos in the middle of Musaf instead of just that one central bracha of Kedushas HaYom. And the three brachos are known as Ma, but they each have a name, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Kingship, remembrance, and the shofar sounds, shofars, right? The first of those three will serve a dual function. It will be Malchios, kingship, and it will be Kedushas Hayom, which always has to be there, which we've already mentioned. So it's kind of like a combination bracha. So Malchios begins with Aleinu, and that's the Aleinu that we just did, Aleinu and Alkina Kavir. Now, I always point this out, and to me, it's a worthwhile thing to know. It's a little bit tedious to process if you're not familiar with this already. It's maybe even more tedious if you already are familiar with it. But in case it's anybody who's not so familiar or has forgotten, I think it's really, really worthwhile to know the structure of these three brachot. Because if you know the structure, then you know what's happening as you go through it. And if you don't know the structure, it's a bunch of words and you're just waiting for the thing to end. And then the word dread really comes in. But I think if it's familiar territory and we see a pattern, patterns are much easier to follow. But they're only easy to follow if you know the pattern. So the pattern of what happens in these three brachos is as follows. The bracha begins with a description of the theme of the bracha, which you already had in Aleinu Al Kenekava. This, the first of the three, is about Hashem's kingship. So we thank Hashem that we know He's king, and we daven for the day when everyone recognizes Him as king. So first you have this theme. Then after you have the theme of the bracha stated, we have 10 psukim from Tanakh that are cited. In the other two brachos, the 10th one is separated from the first 9. Here you'll see them all together. 10 psukim from Tanakh that are related to the theme. So we're now dealing with Malchiyos kingship. We'll see 10 psukim related to the idea of Hashem as Melech. And those 10 psukim are not just 10 psukim, they also have a pattern. The 10 psukim, Tanakh, is Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim, right? So three parts of Tanakh. Yes, 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Kesuvim, 3 psukim from Nevi'im, and then one more pasuk from Torah. So it's Torah, Kesuvim, Nevi'im, and one more from Torah. And then after those 10 psukim, or like I said, the 10th pasuk comes in different places in the other two brachos, but at the conclusion, then you have an Elokeinu Elokei Avraham, Hashem, God of our fathers, and we have a request, a petition associated with the theme. So the theme, 10 psukim, the way I described it, and then Elokeinu Elokei Avraham making a request regarding the theme. So if you look at page 456, the Alkanika, the lane doesn't end the way it normally ends every day. It morphs into these 10 psukim. So if you take a look at page 456, and I have it marked there for my master, so it's very easy for me to see it. And if you have your master, you can mark it over there as well, so you just know what's happening. The end of the third line, the last word in the third line is Kakasuv. Next line is Sorasech, as it says in your Torah. As it says in your Torah, and you have 3 psukim from Torah related to the idea of Hashem being Melech. The next paragraph is of a Divrei Kashach HaKasuv Leimor. In your holy writings, the following is written, and we have 3 quotes from Kesuvim related to the idea of Hashem as Melech. Then in the next paragraph, Vayidei Avedecha HaNevi'im Kasuv Leimor, and through your servants, the prophets, and we have 3 psukim from Nevi'im related to Hashem as Melech. And that very same paragraph, the last line, or the last full line after the number 9, says once again, "Ubesarascha kasev leimor." In your Torah, it says, "Shemayim sal shemal kene shemachad." That's the idea of Malchus Shemayim, Hashem being king, and that's the 10th pasuk from Torah. So 3, 3, 3, and then 1, and then you have Elkeinu Elokei Avraham, Hashem God our fathers, and this is the same one that we had before. Malach Hakom Kulach Ledecha, rule over your whole nation, over the whole world, and we already saw this. This is the same thing that we have in every other tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Turn the page, ending with page 458, the top paragraph that ends Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed Hashem, Melech HaKol Aretz. Hashem was king over the whole world. That's the bracha of Malchios. Adding to that, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Ezekaron, who sanctifies Yisrael V'Yom Ezekaron. That's Kedushas Hayom. Right, because you have to have the conditions of Yom in there, and that's why I told you this first bracha is a combination bracha, including both the idea of Hashem as Melech, because that's the theme of this whole bracha, and the conditions of Yom, the holiness of the day, which always has to be there in the middle of a Masechta Menasri at some point. Okay, and then we repeat the pattern, but we have this, but on a different theme. The Chronos is remembrance. This is based on, by the way, it's a Gemara that says that Hashem, so to speak, says to Klai Yisrael, Imru Lefanei Malchios, speak to me and tell him and speak of my kingship. Akidei Shetam B'chuni Alechem, so you make me king over you. Zichrono, speak of my remembrance that Hashem remembers everything. Everything comes to mind, Hashem's mind, so to speak, as He judges everything, so that Hashem remember you for the good. And how do you do this? Is with the shofar. So also we have the bracha of kingship that we just spoke about. Now comes the bracha of zichrunus. Remember, and again, you have the thematic introduction. Atah zochir ma'asol, you remember everything, and you can see the translation in your own, that nothing is hidden from you, and you remember everything that happened from the beginning of time till the end of time, and so on. So everything comes before you, and based on that, you make judgments for the whole world and for all the nations based on their behavior and so on. Please turn the page to page 460. So this continues. On page 460, you see where the third line begins a new paragraph. Kizecher kol hamasim. And in that paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines into the paragraph, towards the end of the line, once again, you see kakasub b'sorasecha, as it says, as is written in your Torah. So now we're going to have 3 psukim from Torah. And then in the next paragraph, a related idea of Hashem's remembrance. In the next paragraph, a different kashacha, because of Leimor, in your holy writings it is written, we'll have 3 psukim from Ksuvim. And the next paragraph, Vayedeh Avedecha Neviim, Kasav Leimor, 3 psukim from Neviim, right? You don't have the 10th pasuk again until a bit later, but then you have a petition, a request, Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu, but how we do it, Hashem remembering. Hashem remember us for the good. And our counting should be one of salvation and compassion from heaven and so on. Turn the page to page 462. 462, towards the end of that top paragraph, the last 3 lines, it says, Ka'amur, as it says, V'zachati lehem brisi shonim, that's the 10th pasuk from Torah. And it ends, Baruch Hashem, blessed be Hashem, Zocher Bris, remembers the covenant. That's the chronos. And the same thing happens to shofros. Right? And the next bracha is shofros, at Neglesa, there are 2 shofros you speak of. You speak about the shofar of Matan Torah. You reveal yourself in Matan Torah with the shofar. When Hashem gave the Torah, a great shofar was sounded. There again, in that bottom paragraph of 462, a little bit more than halfway through the paragraph, you'll see the word, second word in the line, kakasu b'sorasecha, as it says in your Torah. Our 3 psukim from Torah, turn the page to 464, the top paragraph is 3 psukim from Ksuvim. The next paragraph is 3 psukim from Neviim, followed by Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu, a petition, please sound Hashem, the great shofar of our redemption. And in there you'll have, towards the end of it, you'll have Ka'amur, the 10th pasuk from Torah, ending Baruch Ata Hashem, Shemea Kol Truas Ami Sobarachimim, bless you Hashem, who hears the sound, the shofar sound of His people with mercy. And then you're done. You turn the page, you have to retzei already. Right? You have to retzei. So if you keep that structure in mind, we'll see, we'll know what to expect. These 3 psukim, very expanded, but the theme, the 10 psukim, the petition, the conclusion of the bracha. Same thing with Mizchronos, same thing with Shofros, and that carries you through Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so I'd like you to report back to me that you missed Shemoneh Esrei. Felt like it took you much less time. I don't want to hear that it took much less time. I mean, I felt like it took you much less time because you knew what was going on. Okay. Now, so it takes a long time in the Rosh Hashanah davening is Chazar Sashat, right? So you know, it takes time, okay? So Chazar Sashat has highlights. I don't want to say that not all of it is important. It's all important, you know. Everything's equal, but some parts are more equal than others, okay? Some parts are more important. And we tend to treat them with a particular sense of awe. One important part that we know about, but we should know where it is and where it fits in, is on page 480. It's your introduction to Kedusha. And this has a story behind it. It's a rather gruesome story, and it's and if you really want to, you can read it at the bottom of your R scroll. But I'm talking about in Sana Tokef on page 480. All right? And this is where we're focused. And, you know, I remember as a child, I would get my breaks during my father's Zechor Baruch Hu, let me go out. He make me stay inside for the... But in Sana Tokef, you got to be in Sana Tokef. It was ingrained in us from a very young age that in Sana Tokef is something you don't miss. You just don't miss in Sana Tokef. So Sana Tokef talks about the Kedusha Tzion, the holiness, the power of this day and what's taking place in Shemayim, that Hashem is a Dayan, a Mechiach, a Medea, that He is one who judges, proves, knows, and bears witness. And turning the page, he remembers everything, all this. And the Sefer HaZichronos, he opens the Sefer HaZichronos, the book of Chronicles, of Remembrances. Umeel Vikarina reads itself, top line at 462 our meeting, the Chosam Yad Kal Adambo. And the signature, everyone's signature is in it. The signature of everyone somehow doesn't care. It should be a little more poetic. The signature of every human being, of every man, is in it. And what we're told that means is, what does it mean? So we have a tradition that every night, we watch Negev Rashi in the morning for a number of reasons. One of this is because we experience a little bit of death. Sleep is a little bit of death. Because our neshama leaves us, and it goes up to Shemayim. And there, we're told the neshama gets to read the record of what the person did that day, and then he signs it, or he or she signs it. So it's just a way of expressing the idea that when we're being judged by Hashem, there's no denial. You know, people, as Rabbi Dr. Lov could tell us, that we're very creative when it comes to denial. We can really hide from ourselves amazingly, but when we're before Hashem, there's nowhere to hide. Okay, that's the signature Chosam Yad Kal Adambo, and a great shofar sounded, and the malachim themselves are trembling. What's going to be? They're being judged as well. Now is not the time to talk about it. And then we sing together, Rosh Hashanah, Kisiv, and Rosh Hashanah, it's written, and Yom Kippur, it's sealed, who will live and who will die, and so on. Reaching the crescendo of a Shuvah, Sfilas, Tzedakah, Avir, and Tzorah, Gezerah, but repentance, prayer, and charity remove the evil of the decree. And then we launch into, on page 4, end of 44, 486, we launch into Kedusha. So that's the introduction to Kedusha. Of Rosh Hashanah. Now, there are a number of piyutim. We certainly don't have time to go through the piyutim, chol maminim, and so on. But whoever comes here comes to Shabbat before, will get retortured again from what I want to point out. Page 494. I just think it's very worthwhile. It's really what the Chazan sings, but we join him in a very spirited tune, and it's a very beautiful poem that's inserted into the brach of Kedushas Hashem, right? So at 494, you have all the V'chein teams that we've already studied, the V'chein Tein Patachah, V'chein Tein Kavod, V'chein Tzadikim, but instead of going to the conclusion then, there's a poem that's inserted. And it's a very beautiful poem that describes a very, very beautiful vision of what will happen on that day. That day. What's that day? That day when everyone finally recognizes the truth. Right? And it's worth pointing out the creativity that goes into this. Aleph Beis is very often encoded into a lot of these pieces. But here it's inserted into the third letter of the first word of every half line. So V'yesayu, you see where I'm at the bottom of 494, the last few lines. V'yesayu, the third letter is the Aleph. The next half line, V'yavarchu, the third letter is the Beis, and so on. But just read it. Just reread in English. They will all come to serve you. Who's they? The whole world, right? The whole world has become that single society. And they'll all bless your glory, and they'll all speak about who you are. And towards the end of the page, they're going to get rid of all of their idols. They reject their idols. They're mortified by their statues. And turn to page 496. And turn Shechem Echad unanimously to serve you. Imagine the whole world unified in this idea of serving you. And they'll come from all far-flung lands. And let's go just to the very end of those top lines by the Shin. V'yishmu Rechokim. And the Rechokim, those who are far away from let's say spiritually or geographically from Eretz Yisrael, from wherever, Rechokim, the Yavoah, they will come, the Yitnu Lecha Keser Melucha. That's a tough. The Yitnu Lecha, and they'll grant you, they'll give you Hashem, they'll present you with the crown of kingship. All of mankind getting together and saying, Hashem, the crown is yours. We finally figured it out. We finally learned that. And then the Chazan continues with the conclusion. Yashem will reign alone, concluding with at the end of the next paragraph, Brochet Hashem Melech HaKadosh. So I think that's a nice thing to tune into That's on both days of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Tkiyas Shofar. We can't talk about the Davening without talking about Tkiyas Shofar at all. So everybody knows that Rosh Hashanah was supposed to hear Mea Kolos, 100 sounds. Women don't necessarily have to hear all 100 sounds because women are not really mechuyev, they're not really obligated in the mitzvah, and the basic mitzvah does not require 100 sounds. But if you live in the whole Davening, you will hear Mea Kolos, 100 sounds. I just want to point out how do we count sounds on when it comes to shofar. There's a lot of different sounds we made, and what counts as a sound and what doesn't count as a sound. So so tkiya is a sound, shvarim is a sound, shu is a sound, and tkiya is a sound. And the way this developed was, and the Torah does not say all this. All it says is trua. Yeah. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Trua, the day of the trua. But we know from sources, the Torah Shel Peh, that every trua has to be preceded by a tekiya and has to be followed by a tekiya. So technically, all you should have to hear is tekiya, trua, tekiya. That's all you should really have to hear. But, as many things in Torah, we're not sure really what a trua sounds like. And there are three different opinions what a trua sounds like. One opinion is that trua is what we call a trua. Another opinion is that trua is that tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu, right? And another opinion that shua is what we call shvarim, do do do, and the third opinion is that it's the two together, the shvarim shua, do 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 do, that all that is called true. We're not really sure. There are three opinions. So what do? We want to cover our bases. And Rosh Hashanah is one day you want to cover bases. Make sure you do it right. So we do all of them. So really, we should have to hear kia true to kia once, kia shvarim true to kia once. Excuse me. It's kia touch. Tasha Tekiya Shvarim once, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya once, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya once, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya once. And therefore, and together, how many sounds did that make? Let's see if you're paying attention. How many sounds would that be? What? 10. Okay, say 10. Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya is 3, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya is 3 at 6, and Tekiya Shvarim Shvarim Tekiya is another 4, and that's 10 sounds. So, but reasons when I don't want to get into now, a sister's mother request, we want to hear 100 sounds. We want to hear 100 sounds. So we hear that done 10 times. 10 times 10 is 100. That's a year and 100 sounds. The 100 sounds are sounded, the first time we hear the shofar is before Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, we'll hear 30 sounds. So on page 436 is when we say the bracha of the mitzvah. As we saw, the Sivan Lishmo Kol Shofar and the Shachianu at 436, 436. And there you'll see we do Tkiya Shavarim Tru Tkiya 3 times, and at 438, Tkiya Shavarim Tkiya 3 times, and again at 438, Tkiya Tru Tkiya 3 times. So together, that's 30 kolos, 30 sounds. So we have 30 sounds there. Then the next 30 sounds of the shofar are in our shul, by Nusach Sfarad, it's done very differently. If you daven in Nusach Sfarad shul, it's done very differently. Not even Sfarad, but Nusach Sfarad. But in the Nusach Ashkenaz shul, the next 30 sounds will be done during Chazoras Hashat, during the Chazan's repetition, at the conclusion of each of those three central brachos of Musaf Shemoneh Esrei. So you'll have... at the end of Malchios, just trying to find the page. Page 4, 508. No, that's already Zichronos. No, that's Malchios, right. Page 508, you'll have 10 sounds. That's right after Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And then you have the next 10 sounds of 514 after the conclusion of the Zichronos, Remembrance Bracha. And then the next 10 sounds are after Shofros, which is on page 520. And now you're getting towards the end of Chazar Sashat. The last 40 sounds are at the end of Davening. Different shuls do it in different places. We do 40 sounds, 30 sounds at the end of Davening, but we save the last 10 for the very end between the Yom and Ladavid. So that's how you get the 100 sounds, and that's our trick to make sure people are quiet at the very, very end of davening, of Chazar Sashat, not just Chazar, the very end of davening, because halacha, particularly men who have to hear all 100 sounds, are not supposed to take it off in the time you hear the bracha till all 100 sounds are sounded. So that's important to keep in mind. What? Yeah, it's a good question. You're a math guy, I know. It's a good question. If you can, there's only one code because it's meant to be called the truer. But it's show for math. Okay? Yeah, okay. All right. I have three or four minutes left. So, of course, there's lots more to the davening, but I think we have covered really a lot of important things here. The only thing that I'll use the last few minutes for is to note that the Akedah is something that plays a role in our davening as well. Numerous plays of Chazar Sashat. And, of course, we read the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah as well. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about the Akedah. And just to understand why the Akedah is a Rosh Hashanah theme, one of the reasons why we use a ram's horn is because of the ram that was used in a place of Yitzchak by the Akedah. And if we think about what Rosh Hashanah is all about, Rosh Hashanah is about dedicating ourselves to Hashem's kingship, accepting upon ourselves as king and accepting upon ourselves the responsibility to live our lives accordingly. Accordingly, the ultimate expression of that was what Avram was ready to do at the Akedah. He said, what did Avram say? He said, Hineni. Hineni. And that's accepting Malchus Shemayim. Say, I'm here to do your will. And that's what we try to, you know, the idea is not, I'll just conclude with this thought from Rodessa and then the concluding thought. Rodessa says, you know, what do you think you're doing with that Akedah? So, you know, we call it Tzchus Avos. Tzchus Avos, the merit of the fathers. Tzchus Avos, is that it? What's that supposed to mean? That, you know, you go, imagine two people, the way he puts it, and I mentioned this in the past, two people hold before the judge, two young kids, whatever it is, and they both are shoplifted, and the judge says, the kid reminds the judge, you know who my grandfather is? You know, my grandfather is your fishing buddy? And he's, you can go, and the other guy goes to jail. That's not Hashem. Hashem does not judge that way. He says what Tzchus Avos means is where the judge recognizes that one child comes from a home and an environment that he's still connected to and still part of that will ultimately set him back on the right path. He made a mistake, but he still has an environment and that connection that will set him back. He doesn't need to be punished as severely. So when we bring the Akedah up on Rosh Hashanah, what we're saying is we are the children of the Akedah. That we're the children of Avram and Yitzchak who went through that experience, and we subscribe to the values that they expressed by going through the Akedah. That's who I identify with. We're presenting ourselves as we're identifying with the Akedah. So that goes to the heart of the theme of Rosh Hashanah. So we should understand that while clearly things are being decided in Rosh Hashanah, and we have to have kavanah for those insertions in Shemon Esrei as well as Achreinu L'Chaim and B'Sefer L'Chaim, Tova, Bracha, Parnasa, right? All those things are important to us in Avinu Malkeinu's Kasveinu B'Sefer Chaim Tova, Kasveinu B'Sefer Parnasa V'Hakola and Shalach Hafur Shleim V'Chol Aymeinu, and all those things are really, really important, but they have a whole different meaning if we say we're coming to you and we're signing up for the job that you're giving us. We're signing up for the job you're giving us, that we're ready to spend the next year living our lives in a way that demonstrates what Kiddush Hashem is all about. And then Hashem can say, okay, well, then all the things that you're asking for will fit into that context. And it has a whole different meaning than just asking for things because that's just what we want. And with that, we can be zocha. So we should be zocha to have a meaningful Rosh Hashanah davening and to chesivos kimitzovah. Thank you for listening.